This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Just Wings, a.k.a. Chili's. Pasquale's Pizza, a.k.a. Chuck E. Cheese. Bad Mother Clucka, a.k.a. Doghouse. With dining rooms in stasis during quarantine, many staid chain restaurants chose to launch ghost kitchens to recoup lost revenue, often as entirely new brands that had no clear ties to their parent companies. Though the name of one such ghost kitchen, Aussie Kitchen, is a dead giveaway. Managed by Bloomin' Brands, owner of their flagship Australian-themed steakhouse chain, along with Carrabba's Pasta, Bonefish Grill, and Fleming's, Aussie Kitchen opened during the pandemic alongside Tendy's concept Tender Shack, offering more casual fare to delivery patrons perhaps reticent to order a to-go Bloomin' Onion and Melbourne Porterhouse. The success of these dual ghost brands, especially Tender Shack, has led Bloomin' Brand CEO Dave Dino to take the concepts nationwide in 2021, according to Restaurant Business reporter Jonathan Mays. But while that may be welcome news for stay-at-home eaters, it's worrisome for workers. While ghosts are inherently scary, what's really scary about the rise of ghost kitchens is further entrenching the app economy that undercompensates and abuses freelancers, while enriching tech bro shitheads like Uber and Cloud Kitchens founder Travis Kalanick. It remains unclear whether the model of abandoning physical storefronts for shared industrial kitchens that serve as hubs for delivery drivers is sustainable past quarantine. Though even pre-pandemic, growth in online ordering and delivery was outpacing food sector growth at large. But we'll soon see if Aussie Grill and Tender Shack can endure alongside the one-time dine-in juggernaut that birthed them. This week on Doughboys, we return, once again, to Outback Steakhouse. Welcome to Doughboys, the podcast about chain restaurants. I'm Nick Weiger, along with my co-host, the Squinter Soldier, Mr. Slice, Mike Mitchell.
Okay. So like the Winter Soldier, I got squinty eyes.
That was from Chris in Canada, who writes, "I've got a timely roast themed around the new Marvel show, since I know Mitch is such a fan. RoastSpoonman@gmail.com.
He didn't have anything for the Falcon? Like the Fatkin? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I've been trying to stay away from weight stuff in general. I feel like different angles to play with.
Because also you're fatter than I am now.
Yeah, that's the other thing. They could also apply to me, so a little more self-conscious.
Why? Because I'm eating during this episode. Speaking of being chubby, I was eating a chicken Caesar roll-up.
It seems like you're eating something reasonably healthy. Like you're not indulging right now. And I was going to ask you. Because this is we had the episode come out with Jacob last week, but this is the first episode we've actually recorded after this year's Tournament of Champions Munch Madness, which the theme was Pie Noon. We had a month of just gorging on desserts. Are you deserted out? Because I think I might not have any desserts for a while. I'm not craving anything sweet at all. I had too much.
I'm a little deserted out. I'm deserted out. I don't need I got the COVID shot the other day.
And that's right.
I cut a bunch of people in line to get it. I wore a gray wig and used a cane. I got a canceled appointment. I went to at CVS Wags. I got the shot. I was thinking of like a treat afterwards. And my mind didn't go to any sort of like how a child will get a lolly.
Right.
I wanted some sort of dessert. I wanted like some sort of treat or sweet treat after I got the shot. But I didn't feel like getting an ice cream or anything. I got myself the new KFC chicken sandwiches instead.
How is that chicken sando?
Well, I gotta tell you, we haven't had it on the pod, but it's good.
Wow.
It's good. As far as the shot goes, I could kind of... Do people say they can feel the shot going through them? I felt the shot going through me.
Like, just like... But like, that's like any injection, right? You mean... Or you mean in a more pronounced way than a previous one?
No. I guess any injection. You could kind of feel it or whatever.
You feel it coursing like through your veins?
I could feel it... Well, first of all, I'm not afraid of the devil anymore. I embrace him. That's another thing, wow, too. That's a side effect. And I think Bill Gates, we should worship him, and he's a god. But I also felt like it was going through my body. I felt like there was juice going through me. I felt it going through. And then a couple people said that they, and our guest was nodding. So I wonder if our guest agrees. But I felt it. I felt it when they gave me the shot.
Do you think there's a chance that in lieu of the COVID vaccine, you were actually given some sort of mutagen or super soldier serum?
I think that's a possibility.
Wow. We'll watch this story as it develops.
It wouldn't matter because I would just be lazy still. Even if I had superpowers, I'd just kind of sit around and do fucking nothing.
Is that Hancock's thing? Is that what Will Smith is like in Hancock? Is
I just ripped off Hancock?
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
All right. Howdy ho to Spoon Nation. Embarrassed, always embarrassed, but here's a little drop, Wags.
Mama Mitchell, here she comes again. My mind telling you no peeking. Mama Mitchell,
wow,
is it her again? My mind just trying to be supportive. Doughboys can be delightful when she gives Mitchell.
Wow.
Wow.
That's the drop. Who I guess was... If you told me it was sung by ABBA, I'd believe it.
Mm.
ABBA? Did I say ABBA?
ABBA.
ABBA?
More like ABBA Zabba.
What does that mean? That it was good?
It's a candy bar.
No, I know what it is.
Because it's a food-themed podcast that instead of ABBA, it would be ABBA Zabba.
Jesus Christ. Ugh, I feel bad that we got our guest here. He shouldn't be on the show.
Some original vocals there. Always that, impressive when someone busts out their pipes.
Very impressive. It sounded like ABBA. ABBA? ABBA. ABBA. Anyways.
I think it's ABBA.
ABBA. ABBA.
ABBA. I think it's ABBA.
ABBA. ABBA. Why was it saying ABBA? Anyways. Hey, Doughboys. My girlfriend was nice enough to indulge me and sing the lyrics to this dumb Mamma Mia parody.
Oh,
I wrote about
I feel
the lovely Mrs. Mitchell. Yeah.
He made his girlfriend sing it.
It should be ex-girlfriend is my guess. all credit and praise should go to her. People can follow her at mc.dolci, McDulcy, I guess, on Instagram.
Wow.
Thank you so much for playing it. Sincerely, Alfredo Fuentes, Solis Fuentes, at Alfredo O Film Geek on Twitter.
Once again, for
you,
people
Alfredo,
who saw our live show, thank you, Alfredo, and thank you to your GF for her vocals. People who saw our live show, our live tournament finale, witnessed how you got ever closer to camera as the show progressed. You just did the same thing trying to read. Do you need reading glasses? Do you have macular degeneration?
I just put on some glasses right now, but these are blue screen glasses.
Right.
Which don't really help, but maybe I do. Yeah, I mean, it was the type was smaller. The font was small.
It was like written in a font that got smaller as it progressed?
Yeah.
Because that's what it seemed like. Mitch, let's introduce our guest.
Yeah, introduce our guest, for God's sakes.
Long overdue. We're very, very excited to have him here. A writer and actor from Big Mouth and New Girl, Joe Wengert. Hi, Joe.
Hi. How are you?
Great. We're doing great. Yeah, we're good.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for making time for us. Now, Joe, Mitch is right now wearing a Nane Gang t-shirt for a beloved Doughboys guest, Christine Nangle. You have worked with Nangle, but also are from the same neck of the woods. You are from Pennsylvania.
Yes. Yes. Nangle is from Philadelphia proper. I'm from 10, 15 minutes outside of the city.
Oh, got it.
And I
like what Quincy
her,
is to Boston, it sounds like.
Yes. Yeah. Very similar to that. We knew each other at UCB New York, but we never really like hung out. And it wasn't until we were working on Kroll Show together that we put it together that we were from the same zone. And there were like four writers on that show that were all from the Philly area, which was very odd.
Wow.
Because there wasn't, wow. That, wasn't that big of a staff on a Comedy Central sketch show. But Philadelphia was well represented.
Do you have, you know of the Schuylkill River?
I do know of the Schuylkill River, yeah.
I rode on it. I rode on the Schuylkill River.
on what? In
a boat. I rode. I don't like to admit that I rode. I mean, I talk about it on the podcast all the time.
You talk about it every other
because
episode.
You talk about everything. They know everything you're about me.
You're an NCAA athlete. You rode crew.
I rode crew, but I. Yes, like I knew also what crew was, and I like didn't. I was embarrassed. Like in some ways, I was embarrassed by it. I wasn't great at it either. I mean, as another thing, I was just trying to lose weight. Which I did at that point. I became a little bobblehead, like I told you, Wags, but still had zero confidence. But I was rowing on the Schuylkill, and it's a beautiful. That whole area is very beautiful. That area in Philly.
Yeah, there's like a very like there's like it's wooded near the Schuylkill, and like mm-hmm. that's like mm. a nice if you want to have like a more scenic route back to the airport, that's a nice way to go. Very windy road.
Some boathouses. Now back then, when like this is my freshman year of college or whatever, but they like I remember my mom and dad like while I was wrong, they like went and got Pat's and Geno's, and they brought both of them back.
Oh yeah, for like a head to head.
For a head to head, but then since then, like Philadelphians like hate Pat's and Geno's, right? Like aren't they like they're bad? That's kind of that's the opinion on them.
These are the two cheesesteak institutions. Yes,
I can't keep up with the cheesesteak discourse, and I don't like it either because it's a thing where people ask me which one to go, and I honestly. I don't think I'm going to the best one because I didn't really like live in the city. So when I would go into the city, there was a place on South Street that I was more excited to go to just because it was near like cool t-shirt shops. And I went there to get my cheesesteaks. I don't remember the name of it anymore. I do remember that I saw local Philadelphia weatherman Glenn Hurricane Schwartz there when I got a cheesesteak one time.
Wow. Great name.
But like a couple of years ago, I had friends going to Philly and I was like, go to Geno's. I just picked one of the two. And then those friends got back to me and they were like, those aren't the good places anymore. And you know what? It's just, it's low quality meat and cheese whiz on bread. It's like, it's they're all kind of pretty close together.
Now, how is this guy named? The Hurricane, is it Glenn the Hurricane Schwartz?
He was doing a thing where I think he was having fun with how he looked because he was kind of a smaller guy with glasses who looked very nerdy, and his name was Glenn Schwartz, but his name was Glenn, like Hurricane Schwartz.
Oh, that's good.
Because there was nothing about this guy that would make you think this guy is a hurricane.
When I played football, they called me Hurricane Mitch, and it was because there was a Hurricane Mitch just like around that time. So they called me Hurricane Mitch, but I was like very bad. So like it was never, kind it was never, ironic. Yeah, it was, I mean, it was kind of ironic. There's never anything cool about it. Wagger, I've told you that I remember in the first scrimmage I ever got in, I heard one of the coaches, Coach Glenn, yell, "Get Mitchell out of there. He's going to get himself killed." I heard this yelled from the sideline as I was in the scrimmage. And then another time, like the coaches like locked me in the equipment shed. It was not cool. It was definitely ironic, but it was.
So when you took me on a driving tour of Quincy, Massachusetts, you insisted on making a stop at the equipment shed where you were locked inside during football practice. Like you made a point of taking just me to see that.
Yeah, I did. And then it was weird. I got in and I was like, go ahead, lock me in there if you want.
I deserve it.
Was it some sort of punishment or something? Why did they lock you in there?
You know, no, they were funny. Coach Carter and Coach Chrism, they were like. They were like, hey, hey, Mitch, or like, see if there's like a pad in the back of the shed. And I was like, you're going to lock me in here. So I like went in and then they like closed the door.
Classic. I like that you were resigned to do it. You knew it was coming.
It was fun. Everyone had fun. And then they let me out the next morning, and it was great.
I really longed for that sort of relationship. I didn't play any sports, but I would have loved some good nature, like pranking or something from a coach. That would have been great. In high school, in gym class, I had a coach Franco that went the opposite way as a gym teacher. And he tried to connect with me on like what he thought my interests were. So he would be like, Wenger, do you see the new Star Trek? I think Deep Space Nine was out at that point. And I was never a Star Trek person. So it was just like him kind of like identifying me as a nerd, but then me not being able to converse with him.
Also, he was just taking a wild stab that you would like that you would like Star Trek.
Yeah, he was like, this is how I view you. And it was not how I was viewing myself up until that point. Despite plenty of indicators that I should have caught on to.
That's always such a jock's perception of nerddom, that that is just like one thing. It's like, if I get this guy, you jack off to Star Wars and Star Trek, that's what it is, right? That's what it's all about, right? It's like, but there you can like I am an into nerd culture, but
I was gonna say, do you get all mad when you're like, you don't have to be a nerd to jack off to Star Wars and Star Trek?
I was gonna say, it's like you'll have like it's like there's intersecting Olympic rings of nerddom, right? Where it's like you don't necessarily know, you may know about Star Wars, not know about Battlestar Galactica, or you may know about comic books, but not know about pro wrestling, you know. But it all kind of gets viewed as like big glob.
You might know all of them and not know how to jack off. That could be an issue too.
There was like a jack off. Sorry to keep this tangent going, but the other follow up question I remember from that was he was saying like there's a lady captain on the, I think it was Deep Space Nine, but he
I think it would have been Voyager.
Voyager. Okay.
Janeway.
Okay. Janeway. Sure. That's what he was trying to connect with me on. And there was a hint of innuendo in his pointing out that there was a lady captain.
That's always a funny, that's always like a funny thing, like when those guys will try to connect to like a teenager on something sexy, and you're like, ugh, I don't want to fucking.
No.
So Joe, you gave us your cheesesteak thoughts. More broadly than that, I mean, are there foods that make you think of home, whether they are, whether it's something home cooked, whether it's a local chain, whether it's a standalone location?
Yeah, I even more than cheesesteaks, I like hoagies, which is the sort of Philadelphia specific word for sub sandwiches. And there's a place in my neighborhood called the Steak and Hoagie Factory that we would get for takeout a lot. And I like that. And then I actually a food that pops into my head about when I think about home is Stromboli, which is sort of like a calzone. It's like a cheese and steak inside like a baked dough.
Do you not know that, Wagger?
No, I've had Strombolis before.
Okay,
I was intrigued to learn this is like a local Pennsylvania thing. I've gotten Strombolis all the time.
Oh, you were excited about it. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
There's plenty of places that will do a cheese steak Stromboli, and I will have that when I go back, and that's like not a good thing to get before getting on an airplane or immediately getting off of an airplane. But my main thing is I really do love Philly soft pretzels, and I have like a real problem with eating all of them if they're in front of me. Like I cannot stop eating them.
We were just talking pretzels just before this, Wags and I.
Yes,
and we were talking specifically that we're soft. We're like the soft. We're soft guys. We like
them soft. We're soft men. But
there's a great place in LA now called Shappy's Pretzels that I will shout out. Is being run by a guy who went to my high school. We're different classes, different ages. But my wife Holly has picked them up for me a couple of times because she has a friend who lives right near where he makes them. But he's like an actor who started making them just like on a whim. And now the business is kind of like spiraled out of control. I guess Ryan Seacrest loves his soft pretzels.
Wow.
Seacrest.
But they're very good. They're legit.
Was this guy like known as a pretzel guy back in the day, or was this something new?
I think, like me, he was just missing it. And it's one of those things that you kind of, it's hard to sort of get right. And I don't know what he's doing, but he's getting it right.
I'm looking at the Chappie's website right now, ChappiePretzel.com, and the celeb testimonies is, I mean, from a social media marketing standpoint, they got Seacrest, as you mentioned, they got Kristen Bell, they got Carrie and Earl Washington, Tyra Banks, Olivia Munn, Henry Winkler, the Fonz.
Yeah.
Lori Grainer from Shark Tank. Even Lil Dicky's weighed in on these pretzels.
Can I ask about one celebrity?
Yes.
Does Chappie like them? Chappie, the robot?
Chappie is raving about these.
Chappie chimed in.
He says, call me Chappie now after eating these pretzels.
Not many people remember Chappie, is my guess. I don't know if it's a reference that has stayed with people, but a fun movie. Do you ever see it, yeah. Wags?
I never saw Chappie. That was the, I mean, I like the premise of Chappie, and I like that he's called Chappie, mm-hmm. but I never saw it.
That's the guy who did District 9 or something?
Yes, yeah, the District 9 man. Yeah, he did.
And later Elysium.
Chappie, I only understand as like people making jokes about it on Twitter.
100%.
Nothing else about it at all.
Yes.
That is so many references now of like things I don't get, and I'll just make a joke about it. And it just feels like it's just going to continue to be that way as I get older and older and just know nothing and just continually just reference things I don't know for the rest of my life. It's scary.
Well, because the alternative is you're referencing the things from our youths, which are growing and which are ever, you know, because of the slow decay of time are ever distant, increasingly distant. And so people like we listeners are born in like the 90s or the 2000s have no fucking idea what we're talking about when we bring up Alf or, you know, the real Ghostbusters or whatever. I'm 2 years older than you. I don't know. You do your best. Sometimes you're kind of fumbling through it, making a contemporary reference. You take a shot and hopefully it worked. And you know what, Mitch? Your Chappie reference was fine.
I knocked it out of the park.
It was perfect. I want to return to hoagies real quick. What do you get on a hoagie? What's your personal fave?
I like an Italian hoagie. I like to do oil, but no vinegar, because the vinegar, I feel like, will really overpower the hoagie. For a long time, I wouldn't get any mayonnaise or mustard. And I remember like my family, like my grandmother being like, I don't know how you can eat such like a dry sandwich, but I ate a lot of dry sandwiches growing up. But yeah, I usually will go for the works now. That's it.
Do you mess with any local sandwich shops out here in LA?
Yeah, there's a place in, there's Larchmont Wine and Cheese, which I really love, and is like two blocks from my therapist's office. So I used to have a real nice thing going where I would go and load up on like a big sandwich and just sort of reflect on all my feelings from the week and then just like go and sit back in a chair with a belly full of sandwich and complain to a man.
your therapist keeps having to wake you up as you fall asleep.
There's a place right in, I live in Eagle Rock now, and there's a little Italian bakery that's really good, but I don't know the name of it. It's just like, it looks like a like classic Italian bakery, but they also do sandwiches, which is really good. Oh, wow. And then there's a place in Pasadena. This is so ridiculous. I'm going to text my wife who I maybe could shout to, but I'm going to text her and ask her for the names of these two places.
Wow.
And then I'll say them long after we've passed, because the conversation will continue.
I can do a dry sandwich. Sometimes I'll get the boar's head, Cajun turkey wags. Mm. And then I'll do some Swiss cheese on there. And then nothing else. Like I'll just do it dry.
Will you do it in like a panini press or something though? Will you toast it up?
No, just have it as is. Yeah.
Cold and dry.
Yep. And I think the taste works pretty well. I'll do the sandwich. Yeah. On a sandwich thin, and you really get the Cajun turkey is pretty strong tasting. So it tastes good to me, but I do, when it comes to like an Italian sub or something, I like the works. I like to get, the oil and vinegar and pickles and hots is such a more of a, like a, Hots feels more like an East Coast thing, even though there's hot peppers. Yeah.
I don't have that. I'm not into spice or hot peppers, but I remember like being at my Nana's house, my dad's mom, and she would just like eat hot peppers out of a jar and just sweat and be like, whoa, that's hot. But like, just loved it.
That's awesome.
Just as a snack, she was doing this, or
yeah.
Wow, that's badass. I feel like I used to do similar things too, and I love banana peppers and stuff like that. But my stomach can't handle them much anymore. That's the issue. Is I just can't. If the day after I eat a hot pepper, my stomach is kind of destroyed. But I'm with you in that sense of I used to eat all hot stuff, and I used to not be worried about it at all. And now if I eat too much of it, it like I get the sweats and I just can't do anything. It's a fucking terrible situation. So that's why I pull back.
Yeah. I mean, as I said before on the show, you know, I'm a bit of a heat seeker. I love spicy foods. I don't have any sort of, unless I go really, really spicy, I don't usually have lingering like digestion issues, but I'm definitely get very sweaty and my nose is running and I feel disgusting. And it's the kind of thing, like, I feel like I'm really only comfortable eating super spicy foods in the comfort of my own home these days. Because I'm just a dripping mess. I feel gross.
Yeah.
So why do you not like them? Because of how they make you feel, or is it just a taste factor?
It's all of the above. It's the sweating and it's the lingering effects. And yeah, I'm just not that into it.
Yeah. You did not get that trait from your grandma. Mm-hmm. It did not pass through. Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm adopted. Maybe this is how I'm finding out.
I do feel like it's a thing because I've known people who have been like, okay, I'm going to get into spicy for whatever reason. Or like, I can't have spicy, but I'll start by putting like a drop of Tabasco on my food and I'll just start just gradually get a cut. You can build a tolerance for it. But I'm also like, if you're not into it, like, I'm not going to be like an evangelist for spiciness for, you know, having spice. Like if you don't like it, you don't have to force yourself to like it. Like, eat what you want to eat.
I disagree, Joe. I think that you actually have to force yourself to like it. I'm sorry.
And are you giving me a strict timetable that I have to adhere to? Or?
I within the next 2 weeks, I think I'd like
2 weeks. All right, I'm clearing everything else. This is all I'm going to do now.
You have 2 weeks to eat hot peppers from a jar, or you're adopted. That's my timeline.
I'm curious real quick about horseradish. Do you also have an aversion to horseradish, or you're best around with horseradish sometimes? Because that's sort of a different sensation.
Yeah, I don't really like that. That's like a punishment. That seems just like a food that's trying to hurt me or something. I don't understand the appeal.
I think the name of it is bad. The name is bad. Horseradish is a bad name. I mean, it just, you know, like the idea of horse being involved in food at all is just strange.
I disagree. I find it whimsical. It's like out of a Zelda game. Horseradish. It's fun.
I don't know. To me, it seems weird. Horseradish just seems, it's a strange name to me. I love it, by the way. I like horseradish sauce. When I go to Tam O'Shanter Wags, I'm putting it on. But I don't like the super strong one. I like kind of like the lighter fluffy. You know how there's at Tam O'Shanter, there's the two versions?
Yes.
There's one, like a super horseradish one, and then one that's lighter. I like the lighter, kind of fluffier one.
I mess around with them both, but I definitely like it. I definitely like the clear out the sinuses, like super harsh horseradish. I'm also like one of those rare people who I will use my entire glob of wasabi over the course of a sushi order. Like, I'll use all of it. Emma is nodding along. I just love that feeling. I love that sensation.
You're losing a lot of taste there, though. Like with Tam O'Shanter, you're losing. You got prime rib, and that taste is just gone, right? Isn't it washed out with that?
It's not the only way I'll eat it. I'll have it just sometimes with au jus, you know. But I like to have some pieces with the spicy horseradish on it. I looked up the etymology of horseradish, and so it's from German Meerrettich, which is sea radish, because it's adjacent to the sea. And then the English began calling it Meerrettich. They mispronounced Meerrettich as Meerrettich, and so mare became horse, and that's where it came from.
Oh, so there you go. True nonsense. I had no idea that it was such a fucking stupid reason it's called horseradish.
It's like a game of telephone. But you're talking about prime rib. We're in the steak family. We're steak country. Joe, Are you a steak fan outside of cheesesteaks, like a proper steak? Is that like a treat meal for you?
Yes, it is. It's a treat meal. It's also I got like a nice grill a couple years ago, and it's like I like to get steaks from the store and grill up a steak at home now is a big thing that I like to do.
Mm-hmm. What's your technique, and what cuts are you missing with?
I mostly just do all fillets, just because I feel like anything more than that is like way too much. You know, I just do basic seasoning, salt and pepper. I got like my in-laws got me a Weber cookbook to go with my Weber grill. And for a while I was doing like all the Weber recipes, and it's like, just the juice is not worth the squeeze. After a while, I was doing all this stuff, like preparing these onions and everything to go on top of the steak. And it was just like, you just want to eat the steak at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But I did sort of tried to get myself a little education on how to prepare steaks, and I kind of landed back where I began.
It is fun to cook, but it's also like, and you know, I'm as listeners of the podcast know, I'm not eating meat this year, but I was having some steaks over the last year, just making them myself and years prior, but last year I was cooking more. And
I gotta say, that feels like a thing you would miss, just throwing something on the grill, huh? Why is that?
For sure, I think there is an element of that's very satisfying, just as like a cooking experience. But also, and I'm curious about your feelings, Joe. I get stressed out because it's usually a more expensive thing that I like, the most expensive thing I would prepare at home. I'm just like, oh, I bought this like ribeye. I spent a decent amount of money on it, and I do not want to fuck this up. Because then that's just like, I mean, I could all like having them just having an expensive, unsatisfying meal.
Yes. I very much like to, when I'm cooking, have like a precise instructions. And I think steak is a food that's kind of like, it's up to you if you want to have it very rare, if you want to have it very well done. And I don't like that. I want to be told exactly how much time to do something with. So I feel a little level of anxiety of I'm going to go too far in one of the directions.
I try to cook a couple steaks while I've been back here, and I am bad at it, and I'm always just afraid that I'm gonna overcook it or undercook it. It gives me anxiety. I used to like a steak au poivre. Have you ever had that, either of you?
With like the peppercorn sauce,
the peppercorn, and then they kind of light it on fire. But I look, why? Because I made bagels and pizzas over this entire quarantine, but I did not get great at making a steak. But I found, Joe, like you're saying, just a simple pepper and salt and pepper, that can do it. That's all you really need a lot of the time, is just a salt and pepper both sides of it and put it on there.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Well, we'll get into a chain that has a decidedly different approach to seasoning its wares right after this break. We'll be back with more Doughboys. The Doughboys love moms. And hey, if you're looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life, Aura Frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos.
It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. Why? Because you know how I know? I gave one to mommy.
Wow, Mitch. For Mother's Day?
Not for Mother's Day, just because I'm a good son.
Well, you know, for Mother's Day, I may be thinking of getting my mom a little special something they can enjoy every day of the year. From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, and even the friends in your life who may also be moms, every mom loves an Aura frame. Named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things, Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
It takes about 2 minutes to set up a frame using the Aura app. Add unlimited photos and videos, and invite as many people as you want to a frame. There are absolutely no hidden fees or subscriptions. Why? Because you know what? I got me and my mom on my Aura frame, and also I got Wally and Irma.
Wow. Mitch, Weiger, Aura, all have something in common.
What's that?
We bring joy to moms. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code Doughboys at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Do it.
Hey, buddy, it's Weiger and the Spoon Man. Hey, you can eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
Wags, you can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie.
Discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals.
Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals so you can get back to doing what you love this spring.
Let me go ahead and grab my detective looking glass. Mm-hmm. I am on the search for gourmet meals. Oh, there they are.
Yes,
Factor has meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus.
That's right, Wags. No fuss. No mess meals. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff.
Tailored to your schedule. Customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. We're celebrating Earth Day all month long.
Look out
for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. Wow.
Head to factormeals.com/doughboys50 and use code doughboys50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code doughboys50 at factormeals.com/doughboys50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Welcome back to Doughboys. We are here with Joe Wenger discussing this week's chain, Outback Steakhouse.
Crikey.
Founded in Tampa, Florida in 1988. Yes, crikey. No actual connection to Australia. And the same corporate ownership as Carrabba's Italian Grill, Bonefish Grill, and Fleming's Prime Steakhouse, all under the Outback umbrella.
Crikey, indeed.
As well as two new ghost kitchens that came up during quarantine. Tender Shack, which has gotten pretty big, actually. It's like a Raising Cane's adjacent chain, and Aussie Grill, which is like their casual version. Wenger, you mentioned your steak fandom. Are you someone who's frequented Outback in the past?
Yeah, well, definitely in the past, because when we got one in Jenkintown, Pennsylvania, which is like one town over from me, it was like the hot spot for a while in terms of like our local chain restaurants. And I remember waiting like 45 minutes to an hour for a table at an Outback. And like, that was like, my family would make that decision mentally. We're going to strap in. We're going to wait. We're going to go there before we're hungry and put in the time to get to Outback. And then the food really paid off. It was like worth the wait. It's the first time I remember getting the little food beeper thing, the vibrating food beeper.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like these sort of chains, the buzzer that would go crazy, which is such a that was a crazy thing in fast food wise or in chain restaurants, the buzzer.
Yes.
The buzzer is such a big deal. We haven't gone in on the buzzer. I'm not sure how much there is to go in on.
we could get a full Patreon episode out of the buzzer easy.
The buzzer
60
is
60 minutes of paywalled content for sure.
I haven't had a buzzer. I haven't had a buzzer in a full year, but I would love to have the buzzer again and go back and sit in an Outback. I feel like Outback was it's when you're talking about like the heyday of like if you were making a Goodfellas about chain restaurants of like the heyday of like some of these chain restaurants. Outback is one of these big players. It was one of the kings. It was one of the kings of the scene back then. It felt like a big deal. It did, Wags. There wasn't one really too close to Quincy, so we didn't go. And my dad would make steaks a lot of the time. Like he would cook a steak on the grill on like Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't hit up Outback a bunch. But my godfather's son worked at one, and he was and I said to him, I was like, I'm going to Outback tonight. The other night when I got it. And he's like, man, it's so bad now compared to when I worked there. It was like the best. He was talking about how good it was when he worked there.
Right.
So this is a guy who worked there, and he's like, and he now owns a restaurant, but he was like singing its praises of how good it was back in the day, which I agree with. It was good.
It was, and I do feel like we have, in the course of this podcast, you know, we reviewed it two prior times, and I feel like we've kind of observed its decline. I mean, the first time, which was our first time we went, I think, was one of our first five episodes. It was very, very early on the podcast. And then we went in, I think, 2019 with our friend Leanne Bowen, and it was like, it was already not great when we, the first time we did it in like 2015, 2016. And then this time, that visit was like, we were sitting down and dining in. And we're like, oh, this really isn't great. And honestly, I kind of felt the decline further with this visit, which I'll get into. But Joe, you started to say something.
Just that I wondered myself if it was like me trying, remembering just like being a kid where you kind of like don't know if something is good or not. That's like when I had the majority of my Outback meals. And if it's just that I have a more refined palate. But I have noticed a decline, and I got it ordered in because of COVID, obviously, but it's actually the second time I've had it ordered into this house. Because when we first moved into this house, the first time that like my wife Holly went away for some reason, I like ordered Outback for myself here. There used to be one like across the street from the Americana or around that zone in Glendale. And I ordered Outback for myself and just like trying to, I think, like relive some part of my childhood or something. And it was very bad. And it was, but worse this time, I think, even though the last time I was eating it all alone.
That's definitely an experience when you're living with someone, where you're living with a significant other or married, and you have that meal when they're away and you're like, wow, I could get anything. And for me, it's invariably something disgusting. Like it's like Wingstop or like Carl's Jr. Hardee's. I'm like, I'm getting a big ass fucking bacon cheeseburger. I'm getting a bunch of wings and getting real sloppy.
Yeah.
I was just about to brag how I can do it all the time. And then I realized you're both happily married men. It's like Milhouse's dad bragging to Homer about his car bed. I could get Outback whenever I want, but it still is not a thing that I do get whenever I want. Like it's not, but you know what? Also in my head, I'm like, hey, I would love to, Wags, if I was back in LA and there was no virus, I would have loved to go and sit down with you guys there. Like, it does seem like a fun time. And I'll say this, when I went, my Outback was absolutely packed. There were a ton of
mine
people
too
there, which is bad, of course, during this pandemic. But even the pickup was like the inside and outside. It was chaos. So there's still a lot of people who are enjoying it. There's still it's got its fans, apparently.
Yeah, I went to the location at the Del Amo Mall in Torrance, California. Which
now,
when
you're talking
about
ghost kitchens, because you scared me a little bit when you mentioned ghost kitchens.
They're using the Outback because I went to this location and they were like, pick up for Outback and Tender Shack. They're using the same kitchen that the Outback kitchen to also prepare chicken fingers for a completely different concept under a different brand. So and we should probably review Tender Shack at some point because it's continuing to grow.
Ghost Kitchen is scary, but there's steaks there, so there's no Draculas, of course.
I will say yes. The outdoor dining was packed. There was a like a 40-minute wait list, it sounded like, from what I heard. This was like on a Sunday, and so a lot of people were brunching there. And I went to pick up, and even the pickup line was like, you know, it was pretty long. So they were pretty busy. Mm-hmm. One thing I want to say, aside from the meal itself, the app redirects you to the website. If you open up the app to order, they're like, click here to open the mobile website, which I'm just like, this is so janky. This is so like this is so like 5 years ago in terms of, mobile interface design. Give me a fucking app.
Guess what? All you tech heads out there, you never thought before the pandemic, you didn't think you'd get caught, but the Doughboys have busted you with all this janky web shit. You Star Trek loving jack off and tech heads.
KFC was the other one we stumbled upon in recent months that just like doesn't have a functional app. How is this possible? Mm-hmm. Anyway, so and I'll also say, you know, this year, as I said earlier, no meat shall I eat. I'm eating vegetarian, including, you know, the fish is included in meat for my perspective. I'm not eating any animal proteins this year. And for a sit down chain, I'm not saying like for like a fast food chain, for a sit down chain. This has a very limited vegetarian menu to the point of being basically non-existent. Oof. Like there, you can sort of MacGyver some vegetarian items, but there's no pasta that's veggie by default. There's no vegetarian. There's not like a portobello sandwich or anything. There's not even a veggie salad. All the salads have meat or some sort of, you know, like an anchovy base in the Caesar dressing. And so for my order, there were three separate menu items. I had to specify no bacon. They're just throwing bacon on everything. So it was a little bit of a difficult experience for me.
There, for each of my items, I had to specify add bacon.
But let's get into it. Joe, what was your meal? What did you get?
Oh, man, I got way too much food from this place. I got one of their steak combos. So because I wanted to get something in addition to a steak, but in all the times that I've been there, I don't think I've ever gotten a steak from Outback because it was always a thing for me when I was a kid. I would get the full thing of ribs and sort of impress my parents by eating all of the ribs as a boy. So I got like a steak combo and I just went with the sirloin and I got Aussie twisted ribs, which is like their newer version of ribs that didn't exist the last time I went there. Then for an appetizer, we got a Bloomin' Onion, which I have to do because I, again, am chasing the Bloomin' Onions of my past. And I've told this story before, but when I would go to Outback with my family, we would order two Bloomin' Onions and one would be for me to eat by myself.
Wow.
Which is really upsetting. It's like over 2,000 calories, like just an insane amount. But that's something that I would regularly do. So whenever I go there, I want the Bloomin' Onion and it doesn't travel well. But
it's a tough traveler, but also I got the Bloomin' Onion with my mom as well. And it was a thing that I was looking at and I was like, if I ate the entire Bloomin' Onion, this is a thought I had. I was like, could I die? Like I was wondering if a man at my age with probably too much cholesterol already, I was wondering if you could just die from eating a full Bloomin' Onion. But you disprove it. You've disproved that thought in my head where you can eat one of those things and be fine. But
it won't kill a 14-year-old is what they should put on.
it's
14-year-old tested.
It feels like one of the worst things you can eat. Just looking at it, and once you taste it, it just. You can tell how bad it is for you, and it is. I gotta say, even though it doesn't travel well, it is delicious. It's really good. The Bloomin' Onion is good.
There's something in like that breading, like whatever that is seasoned. Like that's what's really the best part about it. But it's hard when it travels any distance at all. It just gets so mushy, and you need it to kind of be crispy. Because even when you get it in the restaurant. The sort of pieces of the onion more towards the middle just end up being like a little mushy clump of gunk, but like towards the outside of the onion, it's a little bit better.
You're on the clock from the moment that arrives. Do you guys ever get the Awesome Blossom from Chili's? It was like their ripoff that they don't have anymore.
I never got that. No. How was it pretty much just straight up a Bloomin' Onion?
It was pretty much, but I mean, like, actually, I think I had that first because we just go to Chili's more often versus Outback Steakhouse, and it was great.
I think I maybe had that first too. I gotta say, I think the Bloomin' Onion is better. I think it's better.
Yeah,
yeah, it makes sense that it's stuck around. Though everything here, I mean, everything I got just felt like I was wondering how many like older men have succumbed to heart attacks from some of the cholesterol blocking their arteries is from this place, just because I got that Bloomin' Onion and then also a ribeye, and just eating those things, especially together, you're like, oh my fucking God.
Yeah.
It's too much. It's crazy. It's not, you shouldn't eat that shit. Well, and I know that we eat this all the time, but you shouldn't eat it. You shouldn't eat this shit.
Well, I got home. I went and picked it up from the Outback and the Burbank Empire Center. So I ordered that and the Bloomin' Onion, and we got desserts also, which I guess we'll talk about later. But like, I got two sides, and with the sides, I was like, all right, I'm going to get I got the dressed baked potato, which was like the bad side. But I was like, then I'm going to get the seasonal veggies, and they didn't put it in the order. It was the one thing that they forgot. And it was almost like they were like, you don't want these seasonal veggies. Come on.
I think that's a part of the ghost kitchen. I think it doesn't exist. I think there's the seasonal veggies just... I eyed those too, and it was like it would be good to like try. And then we was like, no, we're not going to. But there's literally like no other option that even sounds good for you. There's no like corn. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, there's no like corn or broccoli. It's just, it's like a mix of vegetables together that you don't even know what they really are or what you're getting.
And yeah, I think they do have a broccoli side, like a roasted broccoli or something. But
do they really?
Or maybe that's just maybe it's an asparagus. I think.
Yeah, they definitely have asparagus. I looked on the website for the nutrition just out of curiosity after I ate it, and like there is a section like a health section, and they have like health tips, but the tips are like, don't get dressing on this, or like one of the best tip was like, leave room in the fridge. And it was like, a lot of our meals could be split into two meals. Don't eat the full meal that we're giving you.
I like the health section is just like, it's just a warning to get out of the restaurant. Like, get out of here while you still can.
Well, you mentioned your Bloomin' Onions. I got a different app because I was worried. I had about a 35-minute drive to and from this location. Ooh. And I was worried about it traveling. And I've had the Bloomin' Onion a number of times, and I do think it's great. It's a little magic trick. I opted for the Aussie cheese fries, which are, they come with bacon by default. But they are, so the way I got them veggie style was as simple as they are just fries, seasoned fries with jack and cheddar and a house-made ranch dressing. Also didn't travel great. You know, they got a little soggy, and the seasoned fries are not super duper seasoned. So this really was just a bunch of like wet potatoes with cheese. That said, it was still good. I still liked it a lot. Like, I was eating it, and like Natalie was having some, and Natalie was like, this is great. And the ranch they give you, their house ranch, which I'm not sure if is the same dressing that comes with the Bloomin' Onion or if they have like an aioli, but the house ranch they have is a really good ranch. It's got a lot of flavor to it. Like I honestly thought if I'd had these fresh, I would have loved them.
So the highlight of your meal is soggy potatoes?
Yeah, with cheese. It was good.
I eyed those. I did not get any. I went for my sides. I got two different potato sides. But I went with that fully loaded potato, which is, it's a very interesting thing because they give you a wrapped baked, like a baked potato in tin foil. And then like the other thing, it's like butter, sour cream, bacon and cheese and like in green onions or whatever. And all of that is just in another little container, all
very
kind of
sad.
Clumped together.
It's
all in one tub.
It's all in one tub. Yeah.
A little teeny styrofoam cup. Yeah.
It's a bummer.
Yeah.
Did you guys get the brown bread?
I did.
I think their brown bread is okay, but it just invites comparison to Cheesecake Factory's, and Cheesecake Factory's is just better. Like, it's the same kind of bread.
It's the first place I had brown bread. I will say that. So Cheesecake came after, and Cheesecake is just a better restaurant than Outback,
yes.
Right? Let's not kid ourselves. But Nick, I went to the Randolph one next door to the Randolph movie theater, and I went with my mom, and it was a little Saturday night dinner treat.
Your mom is such a trooper. I can't believe she goes with you on all these outings.
We're stuck together. There's nothing else we can do. But we drove there. And it was about like a 20-minute ride next to the movie theater. That was the better movie theater. So I used to go to that movie theater a lot, but I don't know. It's in Randolph, whatever. And so we got a Bloomin' Onion, and we got another app. We got the Kookaburra Wings, which, Nick, I know you were a fan of, not this year, but you were a fan of them, right?
Yeah, I've liked those in the past.
And they're, what are, they're not like buffalo, but they're kind of like spicy wings. They're just kind of like a spicy rub.
If memory serves, they have like a little bit of sweetness to them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's not like a traditional buffalo wing.
And then I'll go into my mains. I got the ribeye, and then I got the loaded baked potato. My mom got the sirloin. She got a 6-ounce sirloin and shrimp on the Barbie. And then I got a house salad with ranch dressing. And then for another side, we got some steakhouse mac and cheese. And I also got the garlic mashed potatoes for my second side. I went 2 potato sides. I gotta say, and Joe, I'm not sure how you feel about this, but that ribeye, I just went with like the best steak I could get, and it was good. It was the one thing that I was like, this is a good, it's a good steak. It tastes good. I had a bite of my mom's, and my mom was like, I like my steak. And I had a bite of my mom's, and I was like, this is not nearly as good as the ribeye. And she took a bite of mine, and she's like, I liked mine until I had a bite of the ribeye, and now the steak is bad. So, but we both did enjoy our steaks. We were enjoying the steaks. They were definitely the highlight of the night. The bite of the night for me is the ribeye.
I messed up because I couldn't. I tried to do steak steakhouse. I did get steak, but my heart was still telling me to get ribs because that's what I used to get there. So I compromised my steak order, and the only way I could do a steak combo that included these Aussie twisted ribs is if I got the sirloin, which is probably the worst steak.
Yeah.
And so it was just very like dry and rubbery. It comes with this like garlic butter that if you put a lot of that on it, then it tastes good. But that's because it's garlic butter. and Holly got like a filet, and hers was better, or she said it was better.
Yeah, my mom got that the same steak you did, and yeah, it was, I had a bite and it was not great. I also got the garlic butter on it, which I feel like maybe all the steaks should just have the garlic butter on it no matter what, because it makes them taste a little better. And my mom went with the mushrooms, which were kind of, they gave her like an entire giant container, like more mushrooms than you would ever need, just a giant container of mushrooms. But the steaks still made a good outing. How did you like those ribs? Did they not stack up to what they were back in the day?
No, I loved them. I loved them. I couldn't figure out like how they were different than the old, just like baby back ribs, but they're fried is what they do now. I looked it up. So they fry them and then they dip them in their sauce. My only complaint is like, they're supposed to be drizzled with Bloom sauce, which is the same sauce that you get with the Bloomin' Onion. Which is just some sort of like horseradish based sauce. And as we've covered, I don't like that whimsically named condiment. I tried it on a couple of bites. It's too much.
Yeah. I don't know if I like the name Twisted Aussie Twisted Ribs. I don't know if I like
that. Yeah. It just seems like an abomination, like a twisted rib. Like it's an odd thing to call them. But fried, but you're saying they like go into the deep fryer before they're like what's happening? Exactly?
Wagner, I feel like if you went to the doctor and got an X-ray, they'd say you had twisted ribs. it would explain a lot of stories you've told. But
all right.
Yeah, I think they get deep fried and then they get the sauce put on afterwards.
That's intense.
It makes sense based on what I was experiencing when I was eating it. It definitely, there is an overall thing with Outback where it's like they're barely trying to do the Australian theme. Like Twisted Ribs is just a name that they came up with, and then they just throw Aussie on front of it to sort of cover their bases. And
for sure.
My wife is friends with an Australian guy that she used to work with, and during the pandemic, she's part of this like all Australians and Holly Prazoff workout group where every day like a bunch of people are in Australia, so they do it in the middle of the afternoon, but they all like work out together. And so, in anticipation of us ordering this on Friday night, she was asking them about it. And a couple of the Australians had never heard of Outback. And then when she explained the concept to them, they were offended by it. They were like, what's the food there? And she was like, it's like steaks and burgers. And they were like, this is not our food. I can't do the voice.
First of all, the idea of Holly and all these Australians hanging out is the funniest thing on earth to me. I wish I could overhear this conversation. But yeah. that's wild that they were all insulted by it.
Yes, it comes down. I mean, it's just its origin is the fucking the Australian craze
Crocodile
of the
Dundee,
80s and
right?
90s. Exactly. Yeah. Crocodile Dundee and Yahoo Sirius's young Einstein, and then the fucking Duracell battery guy, and then all this got lampooned in The Simpsons. And they cashed in on this, and these Floridians who had no connection to Australia just made this sort of Australian pastiche. And the theming really carried it for a while, but then eventually people were like, after the Sydney Olympics, no one gave a shit anymore. So you're right that they're things like there's just like the
my question is, who is this open for still then? I don't understand this. Why was it even crowded when I was there? It feels like a place, I guess maybe it's for a steakhouse, it's cheaper. Maybe that's the sort of thing is you can you can take your family there and you can get your dad gets a steak and mom gets a steak and everyone else can eat and it's not super expensive. But like my ribeye was $35. I mean, like it was kind of expensive. You know, it wasn't not pricey. So
I think you're getting something that feels like it's like exotic or different, but really you don't want that. You just want to have a steak.
That's
but
a very
you
want to right.
feel like you did something out of the wheelhouse.
That's a very that's a very American thing of like, oh, I want to feel like I did something exotic, but I don't want that really.
It's Rainforest Cafe. I got you mentioned the steakhouse mac and cheese, which I also got, and I really thought was pretty bad.
Oh,
I
why? Was like, I didn't talk about it. It sucked. My mom
thought it was awful.
It was awful. It was like my mom was like, "It's not cheesy." She started yelling.
No, it's like a weird like orangey paste that to me it all pooled at the bottom of the pasta. I think it's like a cavatappi or whatever. And you had some of that, and it gave it some ambiguous savory flavor, but it's not cheesy at all.
No, it was very oily. It was that sort of thing of like just especially with the travel or whatever. We brought it back, and that was a real bummer. It was something where we both were just like, "This is not." This is not working for either of us. And also, as you know, my mom, like, my mom is like, I told you this. She's like pouring like orange juice on like when we were doing pie noon and we were having all these desserts. She was like, okay, I'm gonna take this to the sink. She was like trying to throw everything away, basically. And with Outback, this is like it happened like 10 times because she was like, you don't want to eat any more of that mac and cheese. And I was like, I know, I don't want to eat any more of it. And then I like would take a bite of it. And she's like, you shouldn't be in it. I'm like, I'm doing it for the show. I want to see if it's any better. But she was like, constantly trying to throw things away because one, they didn't taste good. And two, it's just so clearly not good for you. Like that cup of mac and cheese for how many calories it is.
Yeah.
It should be better. It's
not worth the calories at all.
It sucks.
I'm just realizing that a grim layer has been added to this podcast with you being back in Quincy, which is your mom, a lovely lady, worried that the premise of this show will kill her son and trying to do everything to restrain you. From endangering your body. This is bad. We should not be doing this. We should not be eating like this all the time. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Shit, maybe sorry. You should just do a show every couple of months, honey, and then it'll be more of a special treat for your friend.
I mean, she has like been like, you should like a mother bird does. You should just chew the food and spit it out. She has had ideas like that, but I told her I'm true to the listeners, and I'll eat myself to death if that's what we must do, Wags.
We also that's the other thing is like, I just love eating this fucking trash. I just like, even when it's bad, I'm still just like, kind of like it. And I had met with I think I said this on the podcast, but back before quarantine, I was meeting regularly with a nutritionist for a bit. And she was saying the same thing. She was like, chew the food and spit it out, or like have one bite and just have your judgment from that. Or lie. Like, just don't eat the food and just say you did. Like, wow. was basically trying to do everything to caution me from actually doing what we do on the show, like, which is order full meals and eat them.
I love this frantic nutritionist trying to be like, no, don't just do anything. Like chasing you out of the building.
I was emailing with a college friend who does a lot of like food reviewing for like a publication based in Boulder where he lives. And he had just finished like a week of like cheeseburger tasting or something. And he was actually emailing to say like he's like shifting out of that line of work now because he's like, I can't keep eating like 100 cheeseburgers a day. But he gave me the same advice of like just chew it and spit it out. And in my mind, I was like, they'll know. like a flop sweat and be like, it was really okay. I was like afraid of you guys.
if Nick and I ended the podcast, like, we've heard enough. You're fucking full of shit.
You've tainted our podcast with your lies.
I gotta say the mac and cheese was bad. We got a baked potato soup was my mom's.
I got that too, the baked potato soup, which I was worried was I couldn't get the clarity and nutrition wise if it had like a chicken base. I don't think it did. I'm hoping it was vegetarian. It's possible I inadvertently had some chicken stock in this, but I do think the soup was pretty. I thought the soup was decent. It was like I like the chunks of potatoes. It was very oily.
Here's the deal: is that it comes fully loaded, just like the baked potato does. Like you have to mark off the things, and we just got it fully loaded, which was just too much. It comes with it comes with cheese and bacon and whatever else on it, and the bacon's just too much. It's the bacon bit scenario where the bacon is like a strong flavor that's not good. It's not like real bacon. It's just bacon bits that don't taste really good, and that kind of ruined the soup for me. We did not like the soup. We were just okay. And honestly, the other side too. The best side was the potato, and just because it was like a good hot potato wrapped in a tin foil. But then the everything part of it, like Joe and I were saying, is just that clump in the jar, the clump in the jar, which is fucking gross. And that was really the only thing that was good. The mashed potato, the garlic mashed potatoes, which they just are mashed potatoes, but taste very garlicky. Those were cold and they weren't great either. It was all the sides kind of were big failures.
That's a bummer. I didn't mind my soup. Again, you know, I specified no bacon, but it was not at all like it was also punishingly unhealthy. This was another thing that was just like thick and creamy and dense and loaded with carbs and fats. The last thing I got was the Aussie Cobb salad. This is again to Wenger's point. They're just putting Aussie in front of something, and because it has no connection to Australia at all. This is just mixed greens, chopped hard-boiled eggs, tomatoes, bacon, which I excluded, Jack and cheddar cheese again, and croutons served with your choice of dressing. I requested they have a blue cheese vinaigrette, which they do there. And I was like, oh, I'll try that blue cheese vinaigrette. Instead, they gave me a balsamic vinaigrette, which is a bad fit for a Cobb salad. And
that sucks.
I'll also just say these greens were really bad. It was just like bad, like bagged iceberg lettuce. It was just really low quality. I honestly was like, if I got a side salad from McDonald's, it would have better quality greens than this, which was a disappointment. Very paltry amount of eggs. It felt like there was like half of a hard-boiled egg just kind of chopped up in there. And so there just wasn't a lot to this. It was pretty insubstantial and pretty flavorless. This was really disappointing. Also, it was underneath, they packaged it underneath the cheese fries. So it was like nice, it was like warmed up when it got home.
Interesting.
And a little bit wilted. Not how I like my salads. I don't eat a hot salad. So that was a bummer as well. Is there any food we missed from anybody?
Well, Joe and I both got dessert.
Oh, dessert. Yes. Touch on your desserts, please.
Well, so Joe, I wonder if we got the same thing. Maybe we did.
We got two things as Holly and I do so that we can each have half of a dessert. And so we got the butter cake. And then we got the salted caramel cookie skillet. And, you know, these were the only two that seemed appealing. There is a New York-style cheesecake in the dessert section, which I wish that they would have just called that Aussie New York-style cheesecake. but, like, the butter cake, I don't know. It kind of had like a raspberry sauce that was supposed to go on top of it and some whipped cream, but it came all disassembled and just the cake on its own without that stuff wasn't that great. Wasn't that better with it? And I liked the salted caramel cookie skillet mostly because it came with ice cream, but that's definitely one that I think you have to be in the restaurant for and like eating it out of a hot skillet. And it was basically like a manhole cover by the time I got to dessert. And like, I don't know, it was just super not fun to eat because of how rock hard it was.
I actually got a different dessert. I got the Chocolate Thunder from Down Under, which for everything that like, for the name Chocolate Thunder from Down Under, like you think that's going to, it's a great name, sure, but it's a brownie with ice cream on top of it. What is, what the fuck does that mean? I mean, it's a, it is a chocolate brownie, but like, I mean, I guess most brownies are chocolate anyways, but like, and there's some chocolate sauce, but it's basically like a chocolate brownie with, pecans. Pecans? Oh, we already did this where we don't know if it's pecans or pecans.
Both are valid.
All right, both, either one. They had both of them in it. It had pecans and pecans inside the brownie in this chocolate brownie. And my mom did comment. She said, "Ooh, this is pretty good." And it comes with the vanilla ice cream, which is on the side. Wise, I tossed it in the, I know you're a big fan of vanilla. Toss it in the freezer when I got home because it was getting a little melty. And then just kind of like a boring chocolate sauce. And my mom thought it was like syrup. I told you my mom's a little snobby when it comes to chocolate. So she can make a hot fudge. She can make a good hot fudge. So she was not loving this, this kind of thin chocolate sauce. And then there's like a whipped cream on top of that, that you just kind of poured onto it from, but honestly, as far as things throughout the entire night, my experience was that the proteins were good. The ribeye was good. And then, and my mom's shrimp on the Barbie were good. And we also had some coconut shrimp, but they traveled so poorly. They were like, they were a mess. They were not good at all. But my mom's shrimp on the Barbie, the ribeye and the baked potato. And then this were kind of the highlights of it. And I did enjoy the blooming onion and the kookaburra wings, but the blooming onion is just the sort of thing of you can't, just with two people especially, it's too much, and the travel factor doesn't help either, but the dessert was a plus side. The dessert was one of the winners, but being one of the winners, that's like still like it was like a C-.
Yeah,
like, it wasn't great.
Yeah, and also for a steakhouse, you know, this is probably a special occasion place. I mean, do you really want that to be your signature? Like, you got a good dessert? That's a bummer. Well, we should get to our final thoughts on Outback Steakhouse. So, Joe, here's how this will go. We'll each go around, give a summation, a closing argument, if you will, regarding Outback Steakhouse. You can draw on this experience and prior experiences, and then end it by giving it a rating from 0 to 5 forks. You are our guest. We'll begin with you.
Well, you know, for me, I think it is just, I'm just going to be chasing a memory that I'm never going to be able to get back from Outback. But there's something about, they did something right, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, where it's like, they keep me going back for more. So even in the score, initially, I was like, I'm going to give them one fork. Because the only thing I really liked was the Aussie twisted ribs. But even eating that, I felt like this is pretty bad for me. And the highlight of the dessert was the vanilla ice cream that like just came to go on top of it, which is not a good sign. But you know what? Yeah. I'm still giving them two forks because there's a 12-year-old inside of me who's eating an entire blooming onion and he feels good about it.
Wow.
Wow. Two forks from Joe Wangert. Mitch, go for it.
Well, it's not really fair to me because I feel like if I was eating out Outback Steakhouse with the two of you, I think, and Holly as well, I think we'd be having a blast. The four of us.
Well, my wife's not invited. I can't bring Natalie.
No, Natalie's invited, but she turns us down.
She wouldn't come. Like, you're going to Outback? Why? Is this a bit?
But I think that we would all have a blast. We would have a good time. And I think that there is something to that that I do, but the food quality, it's got Nick, the food quality's down under. That's the deal. That's it. You need to flush this shit. No one likes it. Australia. We found out Australians don't like it.
Actively offended by it.
Actively offended by it. People from people from the prison continent of Australia who are not offended by anything are offended by this restaurant. That this is how bad it is. This stupid restaurant, Nick. So who is this for? And I'm look. When I was talking about the Goodfellas, the Goodfellas of chain restaurants, I do think that back in the day when there were these god restaurants, the Chili's and the Applebee's and Outback was one of them. But just what is it now? That's my thought with so many of these places. Like, what is this? And the world is confusing in many ways coming out of this thing where I'm like, what is a chain restaurant? Do we like any chain restaurants anymore? There so many of them are
dying. You mean like a sit-down chain? You mean specifically,
I mean, like, in my mind, Cheesecake Factory is the most popular one, right? Like, that it feels like that's going to be like the that's as far as like these sit-down chain restaurants go.
Well, I feel like it's the one that's most stood the test of time. By the way, can I pitch on Goodfellas real quick? Can you just call it Foodfellas?
Yeah, Foodfellas, sure.
Foodfellas, all right. Great. All right, good. I think there are newer chains that have come about that have, like, you know, kind of burst out on the scene and people are like, oh, this place, you know. But I think Cheesecake Factory is one of the few with staying power.
That scene in Goodfellas where they, like, go through the back of the restaurant. Foodfellas is just that over and over again. It never leaves.
They go through the back and it just leads to another restaurant. And then they...
but look. These a lot of gods in the chain restaurant world have fallen, Nick. It's Olympus has fallen. This place is, what is the use of it? I it was packed when I got there, and there was a guy running to the cars, and I was like, wow, this is a ton of business. But my question is kind of like, why this place? Why did this last, and why are, like, so many other places going under? And I don't really know. Maybe it is just the fact that it's like a affordable steakhouse, or it is that, like Joe was saying, it's that sort of thing of like, oh, it's like this Australian thing and it feels like we're doing something special, but it's really not. There's nothing special about it. So I'm close. The steak was good. That is, like, the thing that, like, holds me back, is that the steak was good, but it was a ribeye and it cost like $35. So of course it should be a better cut of steak. You know what I mean? Like, it should be decent. And so I can't give them too many points for that, because everything else was just kind of lackluster, too okay. And also, it was one of those places where after I ate it, I thought we should end the show. So I'm going to go... I'm going to go 2.5 forks.
Still a decent score. Still a decent score.
Well, They gave me a steak that was edible and, like, tasty. It was that sort of thing of like, what is this? What happened? I don't understand what happened. Right. This place used to be great.
Do you think it's surviving off of irony? I'm trying to put in my mind, because initially I was like, maybe it's because of special occasions. Cause that's when we would go when I was a kid, it would be a special occasion place, but there is something kind of funny about Outback. Like,
yeah.
Right.
I agree.
So maybe people are just going because it's, like, kind of like a silly place to pick to go to have dinner.
that could be a part of it, is, like, people kind of just like the idea of the restaurant still. But even that kind of kitschy side to it of, like, because I don't see Outback commercials almost ever anymore, I feel like, right? Like, I never see them being advertised or anything like that. So, like, to me, it just is kind of, a ghost kitchen feels accurate, because it feels like kind of this ghost that's just stuck around forever. I don't really understand why.
That's poetic, Mitch. And to get to my final thoughts. Yeah, I liked it. I want to touch on one thing, which kind of, to me, I haven't touched on this yet, and this kind of made this less of a fun dine out experience. A lot of chains during quarantine started developing to-go cocktail menus. oddly absent at Outback Steakhouse. Their only to-go boozy beverage is the Bloomin' Blonde Growler. You can get a 64-ounce growler of beer. That's it. They don't have, like, any fun, you know, Mai Tais or Aussie margaritas, and, like, those should be in there. Like, that would be that would make it feel like more of an event going there. As far as what the market is, I mean, I don't know. I think there are a lot of people who still just like it. I think also there. I think if you were, like, 40 when Outback Steakhouse came on the scene and you're, like, 65 or 70 now, you maybe still just like it at the same level. Like, it's just, you know, I'm sure that's part of its audience. You mentioned you were talking through some of these gold standard chains, Mitch. I looked it up. This is from FSR Magazine. These are the sit-down chains with the most per-restaurant sales. Cheesecake Factory, clearly number one. Number two, Fogo de Chao, which we reviewed.
Wow.
So there you go. And then, you know, there's a few others that I haven't heard of. There may be regional. Capital Grill is on here. Yard House is on here. Maggiano's is in the top 10. Another Churrascaria on here. So these are like places that are like big, like experiences, you know, it's like, this is like the new, there's like an event here. It's like family style, or there's some sort of tableside serving. And I feel like that's kind of perhaps supplanted a more traditional place like an Outback Steakhouse in the consumer's mind. I thought all my food was bad. And I do think for for 2021, you got to have some vegetarian options. Cause that's a substantial amount of your customer base. So, but I did like the Aussie cheese fries enough to earn that an extra half fork. So I'm going to say one fork two times for Outback Steakhouse.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway,
we're going to be kings in Australia. People are going to love us for shitting on this restaurant.
We'll take a break. We'll be back with more Doughboys. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Mitch, how's your social battery right now? Is it drained, bursting with energy? How are you feeling, and how did it get to this level?
Wise, we just did two episodes of Doughboy, so my social battery is low.
Well,
I'm shutting down.
Understandably, because it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter.
What's the right amount of socializing for you, Wags? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
Me, I've benefited from therapy, as have many people that I love. And, you know, here's the thing I can say. Whether you've been in therapy or not, there are benefits for everyone. Helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself, and it's not just for those who have experienced major trauma.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Doughboys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Doughboys. Welcome back to Doughboys. We are here with Joe Wangert. We've reviewed Outback Steakhouse, and now it is time for a segment. I've got a food-related exam, and Mitch and Joe must compete for superiority. It's another edition of Slop Quiz.
Oh, no.
And the Slop Quiz topic this week is Australian Outback location or location in the Australian Outback.
Oh, wow.
So I will give you a geographic location. You tell me if it's an Australian city that has an Outback Steakhouse franchise or if it's a location within the actual Australian Outback. So your options are steakhouse or actual.
Okay,
any questions?
Two things that I just don't know.
Yeah, you're just going to be guessing through these.
Okay.
This was compiled by the Drop King, Robert Persager. All right, here we go.
So we just shout out if you think you know it, or you're going to direct the question.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a good question.
Buzz in with your name and then say steakhouse or actual. Sorry about that.
No.
All right. First up, North Strathfield.
Mitch.
Go ahead, Mitch.
I'm going to say this is a city with an Outback in it.
Mitch, you are correct. It is an Australian city with an Outback Steakhouse franchise. You have 1 point. Next up, Kings Canyon.
Joe.
Go ahead, Joe.
I'm going to guess it's actual Outback.
You are correct. You're both on the board.
Wow.
Number three, Campbelltown.
Joe.
Go ahead, Joe.
Is it a steakhouse?
You are correct. It's an Australian city with an Outback Steakhouse franchise.
I had a real zeal for volunteering where I'm truly just guessing everything.
Oh, man.
Number four.
I hope we 100% this quiz.
I'd be impressed if you did. Number four, Birdsville.
Mitch.
Yes, Mitch.
That's a town with this Outback in it.
Mitch, this is a location in the actual Australian Outback. It's
really?
Not a town.
There's a Birdsville in the Outback?
Yeah, Ville. Apparently. Sounds like a town to me.
It does to me as well. Maybe it's a town in the Outback, but it does not have an Outback Steakhouse franchise.
Well, who do we talk to fix it, though?
Number five, I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, Parklea. Or Parklea.
Joe. I'm going to guess steakhouse.
You are right. It has an Outback Steakhouse franchise. It's 3-1, Joe. Next one, Cooper Petty.
Mitch.
Yes.
Oh, man. This is it has an Outback Steakhouse in it.
No, this is a location in the actual Australian Outback.
I was going to guess that, but it's weird.
Cooper Petty.
Is that all one word or is there a hyphen in there?
It's two words, two separate words. Capital C, capital P. All right, couple more here. Penrith.
Mitch.
Yes, Mitch.
Oh, fuck. It's a place in the Outback.
No, Penrith is a city in Australia with an Outback Steakhouse location. All right.
Just by the law of averages, I should be getting more than I have gotten so far.
You have not. It is 3-1, Joe. And the next one is Broome. Broome. And I'll say this has a trailing E.
Okay, Joe.
Yes, Joe.
I'm going to guess it's Outback. Steakhouse.
No, it is location in the actual Australian Outback.
Wow.
All right, two more. Longreach.
Mitch, that's a funny sound in town.
No, it is a location
God
in the Australian Outback. One more. Mitch, you're just playing for pride because Joe has this clinched with a 3-1 score advantage. Final one. Wollongong. Wollongong.
Mitch. For pride. And also this one's worth 4 points. It's a place in the Outback.
It is worth 4 points, taking you to a score of -3 because it is a city in Australia with an Outback Steakhouse location. Joe wins slop quiz. Just like a restaurant, we value your feedback. Let's open up the feedback. And today we have an email from Brent P.
Nick.
Brent writes, yes.
That quiz was about as fun as Outback is as a restaurant. The quiz sucks and Outback sucks.
Take it up with a slop king. We have an email from Brent P. Brent writes, as a paramedic who works a lot of night shifts, I find that even going home at 7 to 8 a.m., despite it being prime breakfast time, my body still craves dinner food. As someone who's already not a breakfast fan, what's your opinion on fast food chains helping out us non-breakfast lovers and serving all-day dinner? Any tips to spice up breakfast food at the big chains for when I'm out of options? Here in Canada, very few big chains where I am, Toronto area, serve all-day burgers, etc. I'll even make a 20-minute detour after long shifts to swing by one of the few that do, A&W Canada. I mean, of course, A&W Canada has dinner all day because that's like one of the best chains I feel like we've ever been to, Mitch. It's fucking incredible.
It's so good. It's great.
Joe, have you ever been to an A&W Canada?
No. Is it different from the, isn't there like an A&W here in the U.S.?
There is, but it's entirely different corporate ownership. There was a schism at some point in the 90s or 2000s. And so it's just a completely different company with the same brand. And it is so good. It's like it's as good as fast food can get.
Way better, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited, but whenever we go back to Toronto, you know, because Holly is from there, we're not eating a lot of fast food because she's like taking me on like the food tour of her life, you know? So
right.
I think if I was like, I got to go to A&W Canada, she would be upset.
So the question here is,
Nick,
fast food chains serve all day dinner. Yeah.
A lot of sneaky, great food north of the border. I mean,
sure.
I feel like you don't think of Canada as having great food right off the top of your head, but there's some great food up there. It's great.
100%. Yeah, it's not just poutine.
And the fast food is better. The KFC is better. We were talking about this recently. Like A&W is better. There's a few things that are better, but Taco Bell is worse, so it's not worth living up there. But
well, and also there isn't Taco Bell in certain provinces of Canada, right? There's another a whole reason. Weird rights dispute. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they just got Chipotle. Like so for sharing a continent with Mexico, you'd think there'd be more Mexican food up there, but there I guess just isn't a lot of it. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the question is regarding all day dinner at fast food chains, and then if you have to grab breakfast in a pinch, any way to spice it up. I mean, my take is if it's practical, you should serve the menu all day. Why not? Why not serve everything? I'd love it if I could get a fucking. Sometimes you might be craving a quarter pounder with cheese at 9 a.m. We always talk about McDonald's breakfast menu not going late enough, and then eventually they had all day breakfast. But why not all day dinner as well?
Yeah, well, it is funny to me because I feel like there has to be some sort of switch when like there's eggs being held in containers and not burgers, right? Like I feel like there's like the kitchen overlap. There must be some point where there's too much going on, right?
There's got to be a logistical reason for it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think it does make it a little special when some things are only due at a certain time. But I have a memory from when I was living in New York. I lived in Brooklyn for a while, and my apartment was across the street from a McDonald's, which was really, really bad news. But they were open very late, but it was only drive-in at a certain point. And I remember trying to walk through the drive-in with my roommate and they refused. They were like, no, we won't give you food if you're not in a car. And yeah, that always stuck out in my mind of like, why are you such fucking sticklers to the rules? Like it's McDonald's, man. Like,
yeah,
just give me the burger. Like, come on.
You're saying this as you were leaning into the drive-through window. I've done this too, where I went to Jack in the Box
on foot.
On foot, and I was like, can you give me something? But they did. I think they felt so bad. I think they felt so bad for me. But I was, again, I was doing what you were doing too, where I was like, we don't have a car. I'm sorry. And then I arrived up to the window, and I think they just saw me and like, just give them some food or something like that. Because I was 20, I was 22, I was 23 years old, maybe. But
to me, I feel like this McDonald's were like, we're setting a precedent. And if we say yes to this creep, then all these creeps are going to be walking up after hours.
I feel like there's a part of me of like, if you're getting a burger or you're trying to get a burger at like 6 a.m. I feel bad for this person who's worked all night and wants it, but it just feels like
a paramedic.
Hey, I'm not saying he's not a hero.
About like a cereal, but instead of milk you do a big bowl of barbecue sauce?
There you go, problem solved, you paramedic freak.
I will say that one possible solution here is, and obviously it sounds like you're maybe not wanting to get out of the car, which I understand, but like a Denny's, like a place, a diner that's open 24 hours, a chain restaurant that's open 24 hours will oftentimes just be serving they can make their dinner menu anytime.
Or they might have like a steak and egg sort of thing too.
There you go.
I feel like.
I think the thing you're saying of drive through, I mean, especially when it just becomes drive through only at some point, which maybe is like, maybe that's a company thing of keeping, you know, weird guys like you and I out at 4 a.m. or whatever they're trying to do. But, but it does feel it. If you have the ability, I guess McDonald's should just have the ability to do it whenever. They should be able to make breakfast and lunch and dinner whenever they want to, right? Like, I feel like if anyone can do it, McDonald's can do it. But I always just had a thing of, if I was getting a burger at like 6 a.m, it feels like it would have sat out, or it feels like something like some food has to be sitting out or something for it to work, right? Like something has to be sitting around for one of those things to work.
I had a coworker who worked at McDonald's for many years, and this was back when I worked in the video game industry. And he this was before all day breakfast was a thing, and he was just like, it can never happen because the way the McDonald's grill is set up, there's no way that they'd have to completely. This was your point earlier about logistics. Like it's just an impossibility. There's no way to do it with the way the kitchens are currently set up. And although I never got specificity on that, but I trust the man. And then, you know, when they came out with it, even there, it's like a limited menu. Like, they don't have everything. And so I imagine they figured out some sort of kludge solution, but you also don't want to, I guess the be contradicting what I said earlier is like, you don't want to make it a huge pain in the ass for the workers. Like, yeah, you want to make it something that's practical. But I do wish that more chains had dinner foods at all times of day, because sometimes that's what you want. And yeah, there are people who work night shifts who don't necessarily want a breakfast burrito after they've worked 12 hours.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. It just seems tricky. Just get rid of breakfast. Do that instead.
There you go.
I don't know why I'm specifically thinking McDonald's, like, because I because Burger King or whatever. I feel like some of those places just will never do it. But
yeah,
at a place like McDonald's, which is a place that feels like it should be able to do it, even though according to your video game friend, it is impossible. Both options should be available.
I think that I could be wrong here, but I feel like Jack in the Box maybe at some point went all in on having their entire menu available 24 hours. So there might be some equivalent of that north of the border, or Joe's barbecue cereal idea. You always got that. But yeah, you're kind of in a pinch there, Brent P. Sorry we couldn't be more help. If you have a question or comment about the world of chain restaurants, you can email us at doughboyspodcast@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 830-GO-DOUGH. That's 830-463-6844. And to get the Doughboys Double, our weekly bonus episode, you can join the Golden or Platinum Plate Club at patreon.com/doughboys.
And by the way, if you want to take a picture of your cereal floating in barbecue sauce, hashtag Joe's Barbecue Cereal Challenge. Tweet it at us. We'd want to see what you got. We want to see you eat it.
We'll retweet every single one of those that you share. So yeah, send us your barbecue cereal.
There has to be proof. There has to be proof that you're eating it, though. We want to see some sort of mouth picture.
Joe Wenger, thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for discussing Outback Steakhouse with us. Anything you'd like to plug at this time?
No, not really. What the latest season of Big Mouth season 4 is out on Netflix right now, so people should check that out if you haven't already.
There you go. And hey,
long overdue, Joe, and sorry we sent you to a kind of a bad restaurant.
Yeah, sorry. I need something shitty. Well, that'll do it for this episode of Doughboys. Until next time, for the Spoon Man, Mike Mitchell, I'm Nick Weicker. Happy eating.
See ya.
On the next Doughboys Double, it's an extra-long episode to review the extra-long movie Zack Snyder's Justice League, plus Snyder's Pretzels, with our guest, Teen Titans Go writer Maddie Smith.
Why did you say that name?
Get the Doughboys Double every Tuesday, only at patreon.com/doughboys. Want to see the sources for this week's intro? Check the episode description.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.